Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. I welcome you to this program. We have such a packed hour. We're going to learn how to live longer, save the planet. Better diet does both. You have some kids that are finicky eaters, they don't want to eat their veggies? Well, how about pureeing them? We'll talk about the smooth transition to vegetables. Use the force. Genes controlled by the power of human thought. Mainstream science, Mitch University, broadcast through Medical News Today. Sounds like science fiction? I was doing this research quietly for 31 years at the Institute of Applied Biology. Yes, I was doing anti-aging research, but my Psy research was the one that I had a lot of fun with. And what they have now just achieved, we were doing a long time ago. More on that today. From our environmental segment today, is the Southwest headed for a mega drought? Cornell University says, yes, we'll tell you why. That's important, and what you should know about that, especially if you intend to live in that area. And from Colin Todhunter, Global Research, genetically engineered food, the criminality of the genetically modified biotech industry. Poison first, regulate later. Then, since I'm not having a guest today, I want to spend more time on short commentaries. Today, we're going to go through the following. U.S. corporations, they're not paying any taxes. Well, how's that fair? It isn't. California, the Golden State, is actually the poorest of all the states. Predictors for a 1929 crash, 65% is going to happen next 12 months. Okay, what should we know about that? Big banks busted, massively manipulating foreign exchange, and what we've been talking about for years. Gold and silver, fully manipulated, they were caught, they're paying a fine, they could care less. The fine, $4.3 billion thus far. Chump change. When you can manipulate the price of gold and silver today, in my opinion, the best possible investment you could buy. I believe that silver in the next bump, in the next correction, could go to $50 or more. Right now, it's the cheapest it's been in a long time. And silver is the poor man's gold. Policing for profit. Did you know there was a course? Yeah, seminars all across America. Your local police are being told how to make money from you using civil forfeiture when you've committed no crime. There is no crime. The police simply want to steal your property. Now, we already know about the police's excess use of force and killing people. By the way, almost every day I'm posting on my website, on my Facebook, actual factual situations where someone called the police to help with a daughter in the house. The police came and killed her. Someone else calls the police because there's a problem and police come and kill them. And they kill the wrong people. And in every single situation, their union stands up for them. Well, we expect that. The police commissioner stands up for them. The mayor stands. Everybody stands behind the police. Why aren't they being held accountable and to the same standards as anyone else? What's wrong with our society? But now, since we haven't held them accountable for all these deaths by tasering, which are in the hundreds, deaths by killing people unarmed in the thousands, now they're just able to steal your car. Yeah, it even has a whole workshop on how they're told, you like something, here's how you get it. Your house, your car, the cash, you have committed no crime. None. We'll deal with that. And today, the dirty truth about e-cigs. You've seen all the people all over the country walking around smoking these cigarettes, and they think they're doing a good thing. Are they? We'll show you the dirty truth about e-cigarettes. Also, a 75-year-old man owed a bill, so they decided to collect it. All right. How'd they do it? How about with over 25 fully armed SWAT people going after him, fully armed, loaded, for a small bill? A 75-year-old man. That's what we become. You think that's unusual? It isn't. It's happening every day. So we're going to deal with all this on today's show and hopefully have time for your calls. I remember the first time I did a psi research. It was at the Institute of Applied Biology. I got together a group of individuals and I had put the standard, do you believe that you have the power to transmit energy from yourself into a mouse? A mouse that has cancer, a mouse that has very short life span. A number of people said yes, over 50. Of these 50, we gave them mice, and they could meditate or pray, whatever they felt was the exchange of energy. Six of those individuals were able to repeatedly, six out of six times over a year period, cure the mouse. Now, what was so exceptional is these were mice that I had gotten from the Institute of Applied Biology's chemotherapy cancer research downstairs to use in this experiment. So these mice 100% always die. These mice not only did not die, but they exceeded their genetic expression. Let me explain that. These mice were programmed to die at the genetic level. They didn't. They also had massive cancer, ascites tumors. The cancers went away. The mouse lived a normal life as if it were not genetically engineered, which meant that the energy that was exchanged changed the DNA in the mice. Of these people, one was Dr. Morton Jacobs. He was known for being the chiropractor with the healing hands. There was a Dr. Thomas Kruth. There was Olga Worrell. There was Dr. Dolores Krieger, head of nursing at New York University Hospital, teaching center. And from that, she created Therapeutic Touch and showed that it was a legitimate science, which is now standard in every nursing teaching school in America and throughout the world. There was Rabbi Abraham Wiseman, known in the Orthodox Jewish community as having unique healing powers. Those were some of the individuals. And all of them believed that their energy came from a higher power, and they were merely the channel. I then went on to have these people see if they could impact sprouts. I had two identical sets of seeds in one room separated by a lead wall, and one group of sprouts were grown, same identical soil, same water, same light. In another room, they would go in and be monitored. I was there. And they would be able to meditate or pray over the sprouts, whatever they were using as their form of transferring their energy. 10 out of 10 times, the sprouts grew faster, contained more minerals, were far more vibrant than the group that was not meditated over. So now we have two very good scientific studies meeting all the criteria. The trouble is, outside the Journal of Psychotronic Research, I had a hard time getting these articles published, even though they met all the standards. And I was talking with Dr. Stanley Krippner and Douglas Dean and other people who were in the field of academics but also believe that we're able to extend the mind, the energy. And I'd known that because I'd grown up in a family where my mother did it. She did it in a very humble way. She held people's hands, and the people always said that they just felt so energized and warm. In any case, I came from a background that believed that we can exchange energy, and I've spent my entire life, virtually everything I do, including what I'm doing right now, sharing energy, not just the energy of the information, but the energy in my voice. Everything we do is an exchange of energy. If you were in a lecture or workshop, I'd be looking you right in the eyes and establishing an energy connection. And there are people in our world who believe in this exchange of energy, and there are people who don't. There are people who believe that everything is very reductionistic and it's just nonsense, and that's fine. We're not going to change their mind. But what's important is science is actually verifying that we have been right all along. Here's the latest on this. From Medical News Today, quote, "Science fiction and medicine converge in a new study published in Nature Communications, which details how researchers have tapped into human brain waves to transfer them wirelessly, controlling gene expression in mice. The team hopes their method could one day help combat neurological disease." The researchers, led by Professor Martin Fussenegger of the Zurich Research Institute in Switzerland, develop a new gene regulation method that allows thought-driven brainwaves to control gene expression, the conversion of genes into proteins. So, it comes down, quote, "For the first time, we have been able to tap into human brain waves, transfer them wirelessly to a gene network, and regulate the expression of a gene depending upon the type of thought," end quote. Quote, "Being able to control gene expression via the power of thought is a dream that we've been chasing for over a decade." All right. Well, first of all, you're wrong. It is not the first time. Meditators have been doing this throughout history. And in fact, over 30 years ago, Buddhist meditators were able to show the power of thought. Recently, meditators were able to show that by meditating altogether on a single thought of a word like beauty, love, peace, they could change a drop of water that had been frozen from looking like a shard of glass to a perfectly beautiful structure. I was able to do it, and I know of no one else before or since that's done what I did in a laboratory, and shared those findings throughout the world, at least to those who were into this. And so there was like a story all over the United States, in fact, all over the world, people were getting together, working on meditation and the transfer of energy through meditation with nature, sitting by a waterfall, sitting by the ocean, sitting alone in nature, meditating. It was the belief that what the energy of the water, the trees, the rocks, the shrubs, the flowers, you could exchange stress out, beauty, harmony in. Now we know they finally done it to their degree, but we had already been there, and we did it with that. Then I took the same approach with hands-on healing and was able to verify that. Some people have that gift. Others do not. But we now know that science has caught up to reality. Isn't it amazing? We make science more significant in what we trust than the history of the human condition and all of its experiences. But that's good. So what does this mean for you? It means this, that when you share your unconditional love, the thought goes out of you and connects with the other person. If they are open to it, if they are defensive, if they're fearful, if they're angry, if they're rageful, if they're jealous or envious, if they're insecure, it's going to block the energy. You will send it, but it will not be absorbed and recycled. They'll be recycling their own negative energy. But if a person is open to that, then they perceive it, they receive it, and their blissful oxytocin and dopamine are both secreted. When you're sending love and receiving it, it creates a bond, and that bond is very powerful. And when we've lived in the shadows of our authentic self for so long, and we've responded only to our conditioned insecurities for so long, when we have lacked trust in ourself because we have not actualized our spiritual self, then it's easy to see why we mistrust others. We're cynical and bitter about others, their motives, their intents, their capacities. So we lock down. and therefore what we fear we've actually created, inability to communicate and grow through our relationships, and that energy. At the end of the day, it's that energy that liberates the healing process. It's that energy that you have to get a person with terminal cancer to liberate if they're going to live. Because at the end of the day, all healing is self-healing. The best that medicine can do, any form of medicine, is to enhance the environment that allow that healing to occur. So now they verified it, but it's good. There are a lot of kids that would eat healthier foods if they found them more palatable. Here's one way that at the School of Psychology, University of Leeds, they just said that start pureeing vegetables, give it to kids in the pureed form, and it'll make it easier for them. And I would go a little further than that. I would say get all kids to start the day with a smoothie. In the smoothie, ask him, what's your favorite flavor? Strawberry, chocolate, vanilla, orange, what? And then take bananas or take some natural flavored protein powder and give them their protein. That way they're getting easily absorbed, easily digested protein that has the branched chain amino acids immediately available, and that's good. That kind of protein will give them a higher rate of assimilation and utilization than if they were to eat an animal-based protein, which takes a long time to digest. In fact, I'm willing to bet that most of the protein from animals that they eat at breakfast is still in their stomach at lunch. Whereas if they had a smoothie, the protein from the smoothie will be in their blood in about a half hour. Next, put in some essential oils that are important for their immune system, for their brain, for maintaining healthy cholesterol levels, antiviral and antibacterial properties. And that would be flaxseed oil and coconut oil. A teaspoon is fine. Then put in a handful of nuts, raw, whichever form of nut you enjoy best. Change it each day too. Or, even more powerful than the nuts, would be nut butters. These are organic, frequently sprouted nuts that are organic raw, and they're nice smoothie, which means better digestion, quicker digestion. A teaspoon. Then put in a pint of berries, whatever berry is your favorite or is available organic that day. There's your polyphenols, and then some good probiotics, and you take your favorite beverage, you blend that up, and you're getting your protein, fat, carbohydrates, enzymes, probiotics, polyphenols, antioxidants, all in one. Now throw the vitamins you want them to have in there and always give them some vitamin C. And the general rule of thumb is, oh, if a kid is, let's say we're starting at 3 to 8 years of age, 500 milligrams, 10 years and above, generally it's 1,000 milligrams per year at 10. So you could give them 1,000 milligrams at 10 years of age. You could give them, I'll make it even simpler, 1,000 milligrams from 10 to 15, if they're an athlete, more, 2 to 3,000 milligrams, and then they drink that throughout the day. For adults, much higher. So this way, it's easy to take. You can put your green vegetable powders in there, and they won't even know they're eating cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, cauliflower, collard greens, bok choy. But you're getting it to them. They'd never eat kale otherwise. Now they are. Easy way to get it into the diet. And I also suggest that for people who are caregivers, for people with dementia and Alzheimer's that won't eat their vegetables. This way you're getting the vegetables in. And for Alzheimer's and dementia, you would add in, whether it's resveratrol or L-carnosine or acetyl-L-carnitine, you'll add in the additional brain nutrients to the mix. It's very difficult for most older people to eat vitamins, especially tablets, throw them into the blender. That way they don't taste them. It all goes down, and if you want to really do it right, make a shake that's 32 ounces and have them drink 12 ounces in the morning, 12 in the afternoon, and 12 later in the evening, early evening. That way you're getting them spaced out, the nutrients coming in. From the University of Minnesota, live longer, save the planet. Okay, we can do both. Yesterday on my program, I had a guest who won the Alternative Nobel Prize. She's a multi-award-winning film producer, philosopher. She's one of the leading, most respected activists from Sweden. She travels all over the world and sharing the message. And I believe that being a vegan in a healthy way and buying local, growing local, is the best way to save the planet and to save our lives, healthier diet. She has a different view on that. And we, by the way, afterwards, I filmed her for 2.5 hours where we explored this in greater depth. And I'll share on some upcoming programs 10 or 15 minute segments of that interview. And as I explained to her, when you look at the number one use of water in the United States, for example, it's not humans, it's animal use. Agriculture uses it. And you're looking at also all the land use, the amount of pollution into the tens of billions of pounds of animal feces that go into our water and can go into the aquifer and create real health problems. And that's in addition to the sacredness of the animal's life and the methane they give off. In any case, it's a lot cheaper to feed people a pound of legumes, like lentils, versus a pound of meat, even with all the subsidies the meat industry has. So now we're looking at how cities and incomes around and the people living in those cities, they're looking for ways to save the city and save money and save their health. And we're finding out the following from the University of Minnesota. Quote, does the consumption of refined sugars, refined fats, oils, and land-intense agriculture products such as beef impact us? And a new study at University of Minnesota, ecologist David Tillman, shows how a shift away from this trajectory of a meat-based diet towards healthier, traditional vegetarian diets could not only boost human lifestyle and quality of life, but also slash greenhouse gas emissions and save habitat for endangered species. The study, published in the current issue of Nature and by Dr. Tillman, synthesized data on environmental costs of food production, diet trends, relationships between diet and health, and population growth, and said, this is the way to go. Well, we've been saying this, and a lot of you have been engaged in this for a long time. So you've been on the right side of this equation for a long time. And finally, from health, from organic health, dangerous effects of sleep deprivation. And we are a nation that does not get enough quality sleep. We stay up too late. We eat too late. We have cell phones that overstimulate the brain, and that creates a problem with melatonin secretion from the pineal gland. And we're too close to our computer. Those electromagnetic pulses overstimulate. And we don't have good light, meaning dark light in the room. We have some background light. And so all this causes sleep problems. Here are the things that can happen when you don't get good night's sleep. Quote, memory loss. On the days that you're most tired, you will find that you're most forgetful and unfocused. Sleep helps us refine how we store memory. Heart disease. Excessive sleepiness due to an attempt to maintain a work-life balance has become too common in our society and is dangerous to our heart health. And diabetes. The main reason for this is the fact that when sleeping less, you cannot reach deep sleep, a condition in which the body rests and regenerates, so your body is experiencing a reduced ability to regulate the blood sugar. Depression. Insufficient amounts of sleep will not only affect your physical state, but your mental state as well. Depression is one of the most common side effects of insufficient sleep. Sleep deprivation can cause the perfect conditions for the development of various mental disorders. Lowered sex drive. Sleep specialists say that sleep-deprived men and women report lower libidos and less interest in sex. Bone damage. And if true in humans, and I expect it may be, this work will be of great impact for our understanding of the impact of sleep on osteoporosis and the inability to repair bone damage as we age. Those are some of the ways. And by the way, for those of you who don't think cell phones are bad, did you ever wonder how a cell phone might affect your brain, when natural society has the answer. When you think about it, the use of cell phones is massively experimental, as we had no idea what kind of negative effect they might have on people when they first were introduced. Well, now, decades after heavy use of cell phones, a study shows that brain tumor rates nearly tripled after 25 years of cell phone use. The Swedish study, published in the journal Pathophysiology, found that the longer someone talked on their phone, in terms of hours and years, the more likely they were to develop glioma, a deadly form of brain cancer. The study found, overall, people who use wireless phones for more than a year were at a 70% greater risk of brain cancers compared to those who use wireless phones for a year or less. Well, who knows anyone who's used a cell phone for a year? They've been using them for 20 years. Dr. Gabriel Seda, a neurosurgeon, University of Southern California, Keck School of Medicine, who was not involved in the study, said that the study proves more evidence that cell phones and brain cancer may be linked. And this was with 800,000 people, so it was a big study. So how do you use your cell phone? Well, do what I do. Keep the phone away from your head. Use your speakerphone or headphones. Don't sleep with the phone anywhere near you. Shut it off while not in use. All right? And use some of the radiation protective options on your phone. Place your phone in airplane mode if you cannot turn it off entirely. That's that. Back in a moment, we're going to take a break and come back with the dirty truth about e-cigarettes. So share this with people you're concerned about.
Feeling about it right in here. Hey friends, Lacey Green here for DD News. Is it me, or was it practically overnight that it went from people smoking cigarettes to sucking on those little tubes that look like ink pens? In the past couple of years, electronic cigarettes have shot up to a multi-billion dollar industry. It happened so fast that government officials are like, what is this wizardry and how do we regulate it? Meanwhile, minors can buy e-cigs legally in many states. They're being given away as free samples online, and the companies are actively marketing themselves as a tobacco-free alternative to cigarettes that will help you quit. Okay, this is my skeptical phase, guys. While all the legal junk is worked out, it's up to scientists to take a good hard look at these newfangled devices. Last week, the largest major review of the research on e-cigs was published in the American Heart Association's Scientific Journal. They found that the claims of the e-cig manufacturers are not supported by the data. One of the big claims that came under fire was that e-cigs will help you quit, or at least smoke less. The scientists found in 5 population-based studies that those who use e-cigs to quit were actually significantly less likely to be successful by about 30%. And that's probably related to claim number 2 that was kicked to the curb, that it's a safe alternative that only releases pure nicotine and water vapor. In their research, the scientists found formaldehyde, propylene glycol, and lead, amongst other well-known toxins in the vapor. Sound familiar? It's just like cigarettes. UC San Francisco's Tobacco Research Center stated that e-cigs do not deliver pure nicotine and harmless water vapor. It may not have tobacco in it, but the e-cigs are still delivering the same carcinogens that are known to cause chronic disease and cancer, and the secondhand vapor is emitting it as well. Then there's the most disturbing part of the study to me. A growing number of middle and high schoolers report having tried e-cigs instead of cigarettes, and the number of teen users more than doubled to almost 2 million from 2011 to 2012. It's even more now in 2014, which is a concern given that 90% of lifetime nicotine addiction begins in the teen years. The e-cig industry seems to be intentionally targeting teens. They use cool marketing with colors and candy flavors. They sponsor youth-driven events like rock concerts, all the while claiming that they're harmless. Some teens in the studies didn't even know that it contains nicotine, even though they might be able to buy them. Let's be real, the industry's goal is to sell a product and develop lifelong buyers. And if they're allowed to sell addicted substances with misleading claims, then they will. And personally, I don't think they should be able to. But I want to know what you guys think. Tell me your thoughts about e-cigs down below, and I'll catch you next time on D News.
We appreciate that input. Now, for those of us who are concerned about the excessive use of force, having SWAT teams, over 80,000 raids last year, do things that you won't associate with a SWAT team. You think of a SWAT team when there's a hostage, when there's a bank robbery, and you need them at that moment, not to go to someone's home because they owe a bill. Listen to this.
People may not always understand why, but an armored vehicle is almost a necessity now. That's what a sheriff just told reporters recently out in Marathon County, Wisconsin, a town of fewer than 3,000 residents, about why he sent a military armored vehicle out to collect money from one 75-year-old man who owed the town money. Apparently, the sheriff thought that kind of force was necessary to make an elderly man pay some fines. The 75-year-old in question is Roger Hoppner, who's been fighting with the town for his right to use his property the way he wants to. And the way he wants to is to use his 20 acres of land to run a tractor and pallet repair business. But the town has been wanting him to clean up all the parts and pallets strewn about his property. Officials claim Hoppner's business is in violation of zoning ordinances, but Hoppner thinks otherwise. A couple of years ago, the town confiscated some of Hoppner's equipment because he refused to pay the fines, instead fighting the town with lawsuits and appeals through the court system. So he's not just outright ignoring the fines, he's fighting them legally. But apparently the town is sick of this whole legal process and wants its money now. They've been imposing a $500 a day fine on Hoppner for refusing to remove some of his equipment from his own property. And the bill ran up to $86,000. And now the town just decided it was time to collect. So the sheriff deployed his SWAT team, who showed up at Hoppner's house with the Marathon County Response Vehicle, which they call MARV for short, along with 24 armed officers. The sheriff told reporters that as soon as MARV shows up, people give up and do exactly as the police want. So he was entitled to bring such force to Hoppner's land. This despite admitting that Hoppner never made any threats or indications at all that he'd be violent. And it worked with Hoppner, too. He came out of his house when the armored vehicle and 24 armed officers commanded him to. And then the SWAT team forced him to go to the bank with them, withdraw $80,000, and hand it directly over to the police right then and there. Hoppner said his retirement fund is now gone, used up in this fight over how he can use his own land. He also said his wife was so shaken by the show of military force that she had to go to the hospital after the incident. So you can see why the sheriff said his armored vehicle is a necessity. It's a great way to take the people you're only supposed to serve and protect, quite literally, for all they're worth. Tonight, let's talk about that by following me on Twitter at The Resident.
And that's Abby Martin at RTV. Following up that, I'd like your feedback. We're going to go from here to a feedback, and you can call in. This is from Amanda Warren, Activist Post. Policing for profit. Seminars teach us, police in the United States, how to make money from civil forfeiture. Quote, even the corporate-run media is borrowing the label policing for profit to describe the practice of civil asset forfeiture by the police force. That is, seizing property, money, cars, even homes without any type of due process. Not even a charge. Nothing. All of your whatever's being seized goes into a vicious cycle. And anything the officers want, they can take. Anything. Meaning if they like your car, if they like a grandfather clock you have, if they like an heirloom piece of jewelry from your grandmother, they can take it. What crime have you committed? None. What can you do about it? About nothing. And release footage of a New Mexico attorney at a vehicle forfeiture conference. Yes, that was the actual seminar title. In it, the La Cruz city attorney, Harry Conley Jr., encourages the police practice of seizure like he's a multi-level marketing guru motivating his underlings to look at everything and everyone as a potential dollar sign. All right, and this is all documented. I've listened to the tape of this. Officers intently listen to techniques about maximum profits, arguing in court, getting past objects of innocent victims, and keeping the whole loot for themselves. If you watch the full footage of Connolly's remarks, you can see how New Mexico police ensnarled a man for almost touching his car, but he didn't after leaving a bar. And as he expresses sorrow for the officer who had to give it back to him in his 2008 Mercedes-Benz because they just didn't wait a little longer for the snag, meaning the man actually touched the car, but he didn't. It would have made such a nice haul at the auction, because that's the saddest thing about the scenario. But he encourages going after nice cars. So he motivated people, get the best you can. Policing has become goods-driven, not safety-driven. Trouble is, this released video is indicative of many such conferences that are going across America. Its prevailing attitude of police and other agents acting no different than the highway robbers, thieves, bandits. That's right, American police have become thieves and bandits. And you have no rights. The President of the United States is fully aware of this. Attorney General, everyone, State Department, Justice Department, all of our major agencies are all fully aware that the police are stealing your cars, homes, cash. You've been charged with nothing, and they keep it. And that's what has happened. So, none of the major media have touched this. I think it's important that we deal with this. Now they go from militarizing the police to the police simply taking what they want. And you can't do anything about it. And if you object, they can arrest you. So you watch them take your house, your car. And how much did they take last year? $2.2 billion in cash. From bank robbers? No, from innocent Americans who were never charged with anything. And yet, everyone sits by and just shrugs their shoulders or turns the channel, assuming it will not happen to them. This is from, and you can call us with your thoughts at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. This is called Old Debts, Fresh Pain. Weak law allows debtors little protection. Here's what it says. This is from Paul Keel, ProPublica. Like any American family living paycheck to paycheck, Conrad Goitzinger hoped that if he was able to make the right choices, the $13 an hour job would keep the lights on, put food on the fridge, in the fridge, and the gas in the car. But every 2 weeks, in the Omaha, Nebraska married couple is reminded of a choice they didn't make and can't change. A chunk of both their paychecks disappears before they see it, seized to pay off old debts. The seizures are the latest tactic of debt collectors who have tracked the couple for years, twice scooping every penny out of their bank account and even attempting to seize his personal property. For Mr. Goetzinger, 29, there's the bewildering consequences of a laptop loan he didn't pay off after high school. For Rose, his wife, a painful reminder of more than $20,000 in medical bills racked up while uninsured. The garnishments, totaling about $760 each month, comprise the single largest expense in their budget. Quote, I honestly dread paydays because I know it's gone by Saturday afternoon by the time we go grocery shopping. Across the country, millions of other workers face a similar struggle. How to live when a large fraction of their paycheck is diverted for a consumer debt. As ProPublica and NPR reported Monday, the highest rates of garnishments are among workers who, like Goetzinger, earn between $25,000 and $40,000, but the numbers are nearly as high for those who earn even less, according to a new study. Those who fall into this system find their futures determined by laws that consumer advocates say are outdated, overly punitive, and out of touch with the financial reality faced by many Americans. Quote, most low-income people are struggling to keep up with basic fixed cost. But it doesn't matter. That tends to absorb most of the budget. There's nothing left. This study by ProPublica offered the first large-scale look at how many employees had their wages garnished and why. In the Midwest, one in every 16 workers earning between $25,000 and $40,000 had wages seized right out of their bank last year. These numbers reveal a hidden population, advocates say, and should spur lawmakers to offer more protection. The federal law regulating garnishment harkens back to 1968, when the financial life of Americans was much simpler. Time has eroded what even then were modest protections. The law barred creditors from taking any wages from the very poorest of workers, but used a calculation based upon the minimum wage to identify them. Since the federal minimum wage hasn't kept pace with inflation, today workers earning $11,000 annually or less, a wage below the poverty line, are protected. The law also allows collectors to garnish a quarter of a debtor's after-tax pay, an amount the government's surveys show is plainly unaffordable for many families. And the law is silent, or perhaps the most punishing tactic of collectors. It doesn't prohibit them from cleaning out your bank account. As a result, a collector can't take more than 25% of your paycheck. But if that paycheck is deposited in a bank, all the money, every penny, they'll grab against their debt. And as a result, so many Americans have empty bank accounts. But then because of the interest rates these people pay, they can pay off the debt five times in total, but they still owe it because they paid it late. Your thoughts? I'm Gary Noll, and we're going to take your calls in just a moment. But first, let's take a brief break, and we'll be right back. Welcome you from all over the world. A couple program announcements. Next Wednesday and Thursday, our sister station, New York WBAI, will be doing a two-day fundraiser for their archives. You can still listen to this program by coming directly to PRN, or you can listen over the telephone. All right, and that number to call to listen to is 712-432-7231. 712-432-7231. Also, I'm going to be having a little conference call with people anywhere tomorrow. I think it's at 5 o'clock, who would like to do a research project. We're taking on a massive program, and I want to involve the listeners in it, where we're showing the corruption of every major institution in America, every agency of government, whether it's the Department of Energy or FDA or USDA or CDC, every major area of not every corporation, but groups of corporations like Big Agra, Big Education, Wall Street. And you could do that from your home in your spare time. You can call 646-926-5422 if you'd like to be a part of that. 646-926-5422. And there'll be time for you to do it. Now, here's our special of the week. The Supreme Health Formula, 300 vegan tablets. This is the formula I created for those who want not just a good multiple vitamin mineral. It's way more than that. Now, that you can buy in any drugstore. Now, this is the superstar. This is the Elvis of all vitamin mineral combinations, because I put everything a person would need in here to cover everything. The vitamin A at 15,000 units and vitamin C at 1,200 milligrams and vitamin D3 and vitamin E and B1, B2, B, and big amounts, 75 milligrams, 50 milligrams, B3 and B6, 100 milligrams, folic acid, very important, 800 micrograms, B12, biotin, pantothenic acid, calcium, iodine, magnesium, 800 milligrams of magnesium, by the way, zinc, 20 milligrams, manganese, chromium, selenium, molybdenum, potassium, pyrimidine, benzoic acid. Then here are the superstars, mushrooms, maitake, shiitake, and mushrooms, milk thistle, bilberry, lycopene, grapeseed, coenzyme Q10, quercetin, ginkgo, acerola, hesperidin, glutathione, ginger, DHA, superoxide dismutase, alpha-lipoic acid, trimethylglycine, phosphatidylserine, isoflavongenistein, every woman's interested in that, inositol, lutein, citrus bioflavonoids, MSM, L-taurine, N-acetylcysteine, ornithine alpha, ketoglutarate, choline, bitartrate, acetyl-L-carnitine, bromelain. This is it. This is, and there's no egg, dairy, it's vegan. This is the best of the best. How do you get it? And it's normally $139.99. It's yours today for $90, $50 savings. Here's the number you call for the Supreme Health Multiple Vitamin Formula. It's got everything, everything in the way of vitamins, minerals, and special nutrients that benefit you in unique ways. Call 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, Supreme Health Formula. It is the superstar of all vitamin mineral complexes, and there's 300 tablets in it. Don't forget, we're coming up to the world premiere of Poverty Inc., December 5th through the 11th, 35 showings. I'll be at the two showings every night, and a lot of those showings are full. Call for a reservation. It'll be a really interesting evening. I can assure you, the most challenging documentary I've ever done, and I think the most important one. It'll resonate with everyone in this audience. Call and get your reservation. You can select the day and the showing. Call 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. Let's say hello to White Bread from Texas. Hi, White Bread.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
I'm doing great. If I was any better, I'd burst.
Really? I wish I could feel like that. Anyway, back to your initial comment about the police being trained, or I should say uniforms being trained, to not represent us anymore, but in fact to just pilfer from us and abuse us. I'm not sure what the direct tactic would be on the ground to deal with people like that, but I do believe that unless you get people's skin in the game, you don't get their interest. And by that, I mean, I think we need something like a wiki bowl where we start identifying all of the uber-rich people that ultimately control all of our governments worldwide and control the laws that could put into place that control us and oppress us. Identify who those people are visually. We need to all see them, understand what they're about, and at every opportunity we get, engage them to try to discuss with them what's going on in our lives and maybe help them be a little more compassionate in what they're doing. Maybe that filters down and start changing things. But I think we really need to identify who the, quote, they are. So when the dust settles, we can hold them accountable.
White Bread.
Pardon me?
Let me interject, because I think you've made an extremely valuable point, and I appreciate you sharing this with us. There are three things we shouldn't do. A, you never want to confront a police in any way that they're going to perceive as hostile, no matter what they're doing, because the high probability is you're going to come out on the wrong end of that, and it's not worth it. Secondly, we have to form groups of lawyers who are activist lawyers that when someone has an asset forfeiture, and doesn't know what their rights are can go in and fight to get their property back. Because more often than not, when you fight and you have the legal resources and knowledge, you can win. And but you have to know what's your right. You're talking about $2 billion. That's a huge amount of money to take from people. And it's not like there were a couple rich guys on the road that they took this money from, and they're getting away from it. Secondly, I not only agree with the idea that we should have a dialogue with the wealthiest, most powerful people, but ask them, with all the money you have and all the power that money gives you and all the access that that power gives you, what is your intent? And just be honest with us. Is the intent to make it a better world? Fine. Then how would you go about making it a better world if you never speak with those of us who are impacted by your choices? Now, I did a special on this, and the special's up on my website, and it's called The Wealth Masters. There's a long article on there that documents who these people are. It names them. It names the corporations they control, about 167 corporations. These are the most powerful people on the planet. By knowing the companies that they are associated with, by knowing who they are, then there's nothing wrong with buying one share of stock in their company and showing up at a stock market, a stock holders meeting, and asking in the question and answer period to address why are and then go through whatever they're doing that's wrong for the public, the environment, and challenge them on it. At least you've gotten it on the record. You can also start a campaign by taking one company or one head of one company, like Bill Gates, and saying, if you really want to help the children of Africa, why are you advocating and have sponsored and supported vaccines that are neither safe nor effective? And we have the science showing they're not safe or effective. In fact, all the kids that ended up with polio were given your polio vaccine, the one that you paid for. And why don't you allow other scientists, other immunologists, other vaccinologists to have a dialogue with you? And that way we force them in to defending their merits. So that kind of consumer action is extremely constructive. Now, they may refuse to speak with you. They may think that we, the people, are insignificant, even though everything they do adversely affects us. But it's a good first step. So White Bread from Texas, thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Let's say hello to Harvey from Berkeley. Hi, Harvey.
Hi, Gary. I'd like to speak to climate destabilization and drought. On Monday, you talked about the Amazon rainforest and the clear-cutting and burning of the forest so that they could plant crops like palm oil and for the cattle, raise cattle for worldwide consumption. And everything has an effect. It turns out that if you Google the words São Paulo, Brazil, drought, turns out that São Paulo, Brazil, is in a severe drought right now, so bad. It says here that the Brazilian president of Water Regulatory Agency is going to warn citizens about that they might face a collapse like they've never seen before. There's no water. There's a city of 9 million people. You turn on the tap, and right now they're going towards severe water rationing, but the reservoirs are empty. And why? Because the Amazon rainforest used to produce, it produced a lot of evaporation, which turned into clouds. And these clouds would go, head toward São Paulo, Brazil. In fact, they were called flying rivers of clouds. Well, now, since they've destroyed much of the Amazon rainforest for feeding cattle, these flying rivers have stopped. And now there's no water coming to São Paulo, Brazil, and they're freaking out. They don't know what to do. So here's cause and effect, climate destabilization. And one thing that we have to do, I think, is replant our urban, suburban, recreational, national forests to help cool the planet and turn a lot of the man-made carbon back to oxygen. But it's everything you're talking about.
You're absolutely correct, Harvey. We need a giant reforestation. Think of the 5 million people we could hire around the world, in the United States, throughout the Southwest, to plant the kind of shrubs and trees that do not require water but act as carbon sinks that would help the pollution element, and we're not doing it. Right now in Texas, I have counted 1,200 towns and cities, including Houston, that are running out of water, representing over 6.5 million people, and nothing is being done about it. So sometimes when we have these serious conditions, as you said, cause and effect. It's only once the crisis has impacted us do we then wake up and say, what just happened? Well, the reality of life just happened. It's unfortunate that we were not paying attention. I will add that I'm working on a major book and a major documentary on the 12 tipping points that'll be out in about a year and a half that addresses the solutions to all this, what we can do to reclaim our land and how to live off the grid. Thanks a lot, Harvey from Berkeley. I appreciate your call.
Thank you, Gary.
Let me add this in also. This is from Alternet, from Lynn Stewart Paramore. Could you be the next innocent American to have your bank account seized by the government? You may be innocent, but that doesn't mean a federal agent can't grab your money and property at will and will keep it without any consequences. The Internal Revenue Service is supposed to go after criminals who launder money or people who cheat on their taxes. But lately, agents have been going after ordinary Americans who have been accused of nothing, nada, zilch. Bewildered citizens are having their bank accounts seized and forking over thousands of dollars in legal fees to try to combat this gross violation of their rights. It's just outright theft to no avail. You could be next. The IRS agents have been on a spree targeting citizens for the simple act of making deposits less than $10,000 at a time. They are doing so using a pernicious and controversial area of law called civil asset forfeiture. This law basically lets agents grab your property if they suspect you being tied to crime, even if no criminal charges are ever filed. Bonus for law enforcement agencies, they keep a chunk of whatever is forfeited. And that's from the New York Times. So we have the police stopping people, motorists, and asking them if they have any cash and stealing it with complete impunity. We have police stealing homes and selling them at auctions, cars, unless they like them personally. We have now the IRS emptying out your bank account in its entirety, every penny that you have, where you have been convicted of no crime because you made a deposit of under $10,000. And they know it. They're fully aware that nothing you have done represents a standard of criminality. When the government of the United States at every level is doing this, our Justice Department, all of its attorneys, the President of the United States is fully aware of this. But what does it say to those of us in this country who, when this is done to us, our civil liberties, our constitutional rights, the Bill of Rights, are shredded where there's no habeas corpus? What do we do? What does it mean when we say nothing and do nothing? That's something for us to contemplate. Also worth contemplating, is the Southwest headed for a mega drought? According to Cornell University, quote, this is directly from them, the chance of the southwestern United States experiencing a decade-long drought is up at least 50% in the future, and a mega drought, and by the way, for the southwest U.S., I'm not optimistic about avoiding real mega droughts, and that's according to the professor of Earth and Atmospheric Science at Cornell University. So you're going to have mass population migration, much like the Great Dust Bowl. And it's conservative that this is going to happen, meaning it's going to happen. And it's just being smart enough to get out of harm's way. And as far as the economy, this is from Bloomberg today, quote from Simon Kennedy, quote, predictors of the 1929 crash see 65% chance of 2015 recession. In 1929, a businessman and economist by the name of Jerome Levy didn't like what he saw in his analysis of corporate profits. He sold his stock before the October crash of 1929. Almost eight decades later, a consultancy company that bears his name declared, quote, the next recession will be caused by the deflating housing bubble. Well, so what they're saying in this is, We've got a big recession coming, and from all the people I've spoken to who have a background in this, including Professor Michael Hudson, Greg Palast, and others, it's going to be bigger than the one of 2007. My suggestion, get out of debt. Don't be buying homes. Don't be buying anything you don't need. I would personally get into junk silver pre-1963, and don't let them sell you the exotic silver or the antique silver. No, it's just pure silver. Take possession, no certificates. Same with gold, because that's been manipulated, and that's going to go through, I believe, way up. In fact, let me just finish our program today with this. Big banks busted, massively manipulating foreign exchange, precious metals, and every other market. This from Washington Blog. Quote, currency makers are massively rigged. Currency markets are massively rigged. Regulators fined 6 major banks, including Citigroup, UBS, a total of $4.3 billion for failing to stop traders from trying to manipulate the foreign exchange market following a year-long global investigation. HSBC, Royal Bank of Scotland, JP Morgan, Chase, Bank of America all face penalties resulting from an inquiry that has put the largely unregulated $5 trillion a day market on a tighter leash, accelerating the push for automating trading and ensnared the Bank of England. In the latest scandal to hit the financial services industry, dealers shared confidential information about client orders and coordinated trades to make money from a foreign exchange benchmark used by asset managers, and gold and silver were completely manipulated. I told you they've been manipulated to keep the prices down, and that's what they were found, and they were penalized. Are any of them now on anyone's don't talk to, don't give contract to, they're disreputable people, they're criminals? No. Anyone going to jail? No. Anyone's going to be on a don't visit the White House or your congressman list because you've been a serial offender? No. Just pay your billions and go about making hundreds of billions. Just be aware, never trust your bank, your bankers, or any governmental agency. They lie as a natural process of everyday living. When they're found guilty, they pay a meaningless fine. They make it back in a matter of hours or days or weeks. And it's back to business as usual. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Let's say hello. We don't have the time today to say hello to Luann Panessi, but let's say hello to standing by somewhere. We're not sure. Possibly even in Washington, D.C. Maybe in Al Sharpton's back office. Utrice Lead.
No, not at all. Hello, Gary. Today we're talking about President Obama's Asian pivot.
Good. Right now, and by the way, I hope you get to the idea that all the media, including the left media, were hailing how important this trade deal that they signed on and are trying to sign, and also on the environment. That is such a con game, because they're talking about 15 years from now. And we're going to live in a different world 15 years from now. It's just one of these slick, stupid gestures that mean nothing in the reality of the world we live in. But we're going to look forward to hearing what you have to say right now.
Thank you.
Part-time.